Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning Five here on Friday, June 26th, 2026. I am Dave Biddle, very happy to be joined by Jonah Booker. So, Jay Book, as you know, we got a chance to meet with Ross Bjork yesterday for a full hour. I really like the job overall Ross is doing. Before we get into specifics, just what kind of stood out to you the most from Ross's conversation with the media yesterday?
Well, obviously, I think it was 2 weeks ago, you and I were literally just talking about renovations to the Woody. And so he finally announced that. And it's going to be 18 months, I think he anticipated that they're going to start a $125 million project. So that's going to be an incredible accomplishment under his leadership. The one thing that really stood out to me also, Dave, is Ohio State has always been a massive, massive fundraising machine. And Bjork said they had their best ticket sales year on record, their second best fundraising year ever, and as well as their best sponsorship and licensing year of all time. And that's one of the big strengths that he was able to do at Texas A&M. He was a fundraising machine, and it looks like it's starting to pay off for Ohio State, and he's starting to bring those chops over. So he's done a remarkable job over the last couple months. I mean, he's doing everything that the fans have asked, besides maybe the bathrooms at the shoe, and I'm sure that will come up pretty soon. But man, he is knocking it out the park.
No doubt about it. All right, let's get to renovations to the Woody. That was my question to him. There's so many things I wanted to ask him. As Tim May just flat out said, there's about 100 things I want to ask you, but I'll keep it to one or two questions. I felt the exact same way. There was about 100 things I wanted to ask him. But I wanted to start with the Woody since, you and I had talked about it on the show recently. We've had a lot of questions about it. Last summer, Ross said that was priority number one, that along with building a new ice rink. And he said, here we are a year later, he said those are still the top two priorities. I mean, and I think he's doing everything he can to get this off the ground. But he said it's probably going to be another 18 months until they break ground on the renovations to the WAC. And as you mentioned, Jay Book, it's going to be right around a $125 million project. And he's leading the largest athletic department in the country as far as how many sports they have. They have to deal with the NIL, everything else they're dealing with. So it's not just, he can't just snap his fingers and say, okay, it's time to break ground on the WAC. But, man, that timetable, and that's obviously just when they're breaking ground, would be 18 months from now. So that would be months after that before it's complete. But I found that interesting. And then what do you think about, this is obvious, but I didn't even really think about this. The team will have to move out of the WAC for a while. So they'll be displaced. They'll be, they'll have like a weight room, maybe like at the Fawcett Center or something like that. They'll have modules set up. So, but yeah, the timetable being 18 months out, just your thoughts on that.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk. And I know you and I have talked about it, was would they build a brand new facility and use the WAC for other sports? But no, they're going to go ahead and completely renovate that. The building is going to stand. The north side of the building is what they're going to expand, like the locker rooms, the training rooms, the meeting rooms. I thought it was fascinating that he said the entire team and program can't fit into the current meeting room space. I didn't know that. Did you know that?
I mean, it's been like that for a while, but like basically most of the team can fit in there. You got a couple maybe walk-ons or whatever that have to stand up in the back. But even when we have a big time press conference, it's crowded in there because we got the largest media beat in American sports. But it's been like that for a while. Yeah, because it's the same meeting room as when Trestle was there. Like nothing's changed with, I mean, they have brand new chairs and everything. But as far as the size of the room, it hasn't changed in a long time.
Yeah, no, I know a lot of people were asking who's going to pay for this. And he said they have gifts committed and 25,000 current donors. So that right there tells you that they are doing a remarkable job fundraising. But you also think how big Ohio State is nationwide. They 25,000 donors, that's a lot, but they still have so much more room to increase those numbers. So it looks like part of the Woody's renovation is going to come from private donors.
Yeah, it sure does. And that's a good point because I was wondering because I think the initial plan was just to build a whole new football facility separate. Mm-hmm. And you're right. And then Ross said, no, we're not. it's going to be at the same footprint. We're just going to renovate the football side of it. So, and the outdoor practice fields will not change. So they'll still have that while they're renovating it. All right, let's move on to other stuff. So some people, I read a story on another site. People are upset about, sounds like a jersey patch is coming to the uniforms this year. That just seemed like it was inevitable to me. I mean, as long as they don't get like too crazy with stuff, like I'm glad he kind of shot down the idea of like selling Ohio Stadium's naming rights. He said, we're not looking to do that. Didn't completely rule it out. Like it's at one point he said, you know, can't rule out anything, but they're not looking to sell the naming rights to Ohio Stadium. That's what I wanted to hear. A jersey patch doesn't bother me. What about you?
You're going to have a Wendy's or a Bob Evans jersey patch out there, Dave?
Maybe not Bob Evans. They keep closing restaurants, but.
Right. Well, it's, I don't know, man. It's, you're seeing it all through sports everywhere right now. I mean, it's in the NBA. And I think this is the way to kind to offset some of the NIL, being able to have those jersey patches on there. I know there's a lot of traditionalists out there who don't even like when Ohio State has alternative uniforms. And so they're definitely not going to like a situation to where they have new patches on their advertising. And I don't know, it kind of feels similar to what you see when the team makes a bowl game. You know how they have like Peach Bowl or Sugar Bowl or Rose Bowl patches on the jersey. Like you see them, but it doesn't necessarily take away from the game, your fandom. And it's just like, to me, it's like, okay, it's just a patch. I'm still going to love the team. I'm still going to root for them. And if this is a way for them to be able to use that money for NIL, then so be it. I would be curious, though, and I don't know if this is going to be something that can be studied, but what is the value of wearing a patch or having a patch worn by Ohio State's brand? As opposed to, let's say, Clemson, I will be curious to see what the national numbers look like in order for programs to wear your patch.
This reminds me a little bit. I remember a couple years ago when they announced, and maybe they were a little sloppy. I think this is when Gene was still here. Maybe it was Ross's first year. And the initial press release when they were going to add Safe Flight, they call it Safe Flight Field. You know, and people freaked out. They're like, they're renaming Ohio Stadium Safe Flight Field. It's like, no. They're just putting like two little logos. I don't even notice those little Safe Flight logos. They got one like on the 20 on one end and one on the 20 on the other end. Like, I don't even notice it. Like, it doesn't bother me at all. People were freaking out about the Safe Flight Field stuff.
Yeah. And I will tell you, though, I think somebody asked them about the SEC in the Big Ten. I wasn't sure who that was. And someone asked him, did he feel like the Big Ten and the SEC has overreached? And he bucked back and said no. He said they, between the two conference, they produced the most amount of revenue, NIL engagements and scholarships, and he doesn't believe that they've been boxed in. So it's firmly in his mind that, hey, the SEC and the Big Ten is going to lead the charge in the next wave of negotiations, because – I don't know what's going to happen when you're talking about the shared pool media rights that they're trying to pass here. I'm sure the Big 12 and the ACC, they will absolutely love that. And if that happens, then you can see the Big 10 and the SEC do something to try to break away from everybody else so that they don't have to participate in those shared pools. And Ross kind of, he was kind of asked about that, but really didn't have like a definitive answer, where he more or less just said that's pretty far down the road. There needs to be analysis on, you know, what the impact is, what the media rights sharing pool impact will be. But I thought that was kind of fascinating, because when you listen to a lot of the national pundits, they all are firmly believe that eventually the Big Ten and the SEC is going to break away on their own.
Yeah, he went into a long somebody asked him about a super conference. He's like, what? I keep hearing that term, but no one can define it. Mm-hmm. Basically, I think what it would be is pretty much all the Big Ten and SEC, and then you'd pluck a few others. You'd pluck like a Miami, a Clemson, a Florida State, and that would be your super league. Maybe a few others that I'm leaving out. Right. That would be your super conference. And I do think, even though he didn't completely say it's not going to happen, But I think eventually we're headed for a CBA and these guys are going to be employees. I don't know any way else around this as far as all the court cases, like, because that would be the one thing that would end all of this. A CBA, just like what we have in professional sports in our country, and the athletes will be employees. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, Jonah, and maybe I'm completely wrong, but I think it's inevitable that we're headed for that.
I think they have to. I think that's the only way that you're going to be able to try to slow some of this down, Dave. I mean, at this point, you can just, whatever ruling that you don't like that's in your favor, just take it to a local judge down the street who's a big booster and say, hey, rule in our favor, wink, wink, and he's going to bang the gavel in your favor, and then there's nothing the NCAA can do about it. So, and if you can get these student athletes kind of into some type of collective bargaining, then – if they opt in, they will be obligated to follow the rules. And it's fascinating because in this sport, you have all of these programs, all of these teams who say that they want to follow the rules, and there should be rules in place to be enforced. However, the moment that something goes against them and they don't like the ruling, they're the ones who's actually taking it to court to fight it. And it just screws the entire system up.
One thing Ross meant, this is not going to be translating, Ross. This is just straightforward. I'm glad he mentioned this. He just kind of just threw it out there that Ohio State has, you know, the largest payroll for assistant football coaches in the country. And we all know that, but I give him a lot of credit for that.
Yeah.
It wasn't that long ago Ohio State was saying things like, we're not going to get into the business of having million-dollar assistant coaches. Now, Matt Patricia is the highest-paid assistant coach in the country at $3.75 million. You got Arthur Smith. I mean – right down the line, I give Ross a lot of credit for that, that, like, he's allowing Ryan Day to hire who he wants, you know, and not necessarily blank checks for these guys, but I give Ross a lot of credit that Ohio State has is investing in assistant coaches more than anybody else in the country. I love that.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty eye-opening that he said Ohio State would be the first $500 million budget athletic program. Like, I think they're like in the mid 200 millions right now. And he's already saying it's going to be $500 million budget. Like, how much revenue do you have to bring in just to be able to offset like all of these other Olympic sports? I mean, you're talking about a massive, massive amount of money that the football program is going to be on, be able to bring in to sustain all of these other Olympic sports when you're talking about a $500 million budget. Like, when he said that, I was like, whew. I was like, holy moly.
I know. When he first said it, I heard 500. I was like, did he just say 500,000? Like, that doesn't – oh, 500 million. I was like – I had to do like a double take on that one. And yeah. I was like, geez, 500 million. Yeah, they're right about like between, as you mentioned, between 200 million and three. I think they're close to 300 million right now. So he said – not maybe next year, but 3 years from now, 5 years from now, maybe 2 years from now, $500 million operating budget. My goodness gracious.
Hollywood Hager here said, I wish he would stop throwing around numbers that no one else needs to know. That is one thing that Ross he loves to do. He does love to put out numbers.
And then when you ask him to do that, he'll say, well, I'm not going to, because he harkens back to when he said the $20 million like roster. And
that was a mistake.
So now if you ask him like specifically, like how much you guys bringing in on this, he'll say so. Numbers create narratives, but he did. He let that slip. He let a few things slip, like $125 million for the WAC, $500 million operating budget. He wasn't asked about that. He just brought that up. But at a different point in the press conference, he said, you know, numbers, you know, start narratives. So
Well, him putting that $500 million number out there, how many athletic directors across the country are scratching her head and says, how if their numbers are going to be doubled in the next couple of years, like what's ours looking like, and start preemptively, you know, laying off employees or cutting sports, because that's the kind of way that the sport is going. I thought it was fascinating that someone also asked him about the basketball program. What were your thoughts there, where he kind of, you know, like, hey man, you guys got enough money to be better.
Yeah, I was going to get to that. That was interesting. He actually had the quote, like, Jake's done a great job. Okay. I don't know if I agree with Jake Diebler's done a great job, but you're right. He said, you know, we now have the NIL money to be competitive. He also said nobody knows for sure because somebody asked him, like, you know, were you guys in the back end of the NIL in the Big Ten last year? It was reported somewhere between like 12th through 14th in the Big Ten, just Big Ten men's basketball, 12th through 14th was what was reported for Ohio State's NIL. And Ross said, nobody really knows. Nobody, we see the same numbers you guys do. Nobody really knows, like, what, like, he didn't mention Michigan, like, what Michigan brought in last year. But from all reports, Michigan brought in, that was an expensive roster they brought in. So I didn't know what to make of that. It was a little bit of, he was saying, like, he's backing Jake Diebler. He's done a great job. But it was a little bit, like you said, like, kind of putting them on notice. Like, you can't use NIL as an excuse now. Like, you guys have at least a competitive operating budget. I don't know if they're near the top of the Big Ten, though.
Yeah. I think I would love if you gave him a dose of truth serum and you're just sitting privately having a couple bourbons because he loves his bourbon. If you guys are having a couple bourbons and you ask him, what are your thoughts on what Gus Johnson said during the basketball season where he said this Ohio State basketball program and team would have been better if the NIL resources, majority of them, are being allocated to the football program. And I think a lot of his comments to where he didn't say it without saying was like, they had enough money to be competitive. and so I'm sure the budget was increased when you look at all of the acquisitions that they were able to accomplish this offseason on the basketball court. But I would love to know his thoughts where nationally you got a Fox guy coming on a telecast saying this program would have been better if Ryan Day wasn't getting all of the NIL money.
I want to get back to Ohio Stadium for a minute. Now, I like what he said about, this is no surprise, he said this since he got the job, basically. Ohio Stadium is always under construction. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. We're talking about a building that's over 100 years old, and it's going to be that way. He said every year they're going to be adding certain stuff. So but there's not going to be a major renovation to Ohio Stadium. As of now, they're not selling the naming rights, but I like the fact that they're going to be adding certain things every year. They're renovating some of the bathrooms. I know that's a big thing for people. Mm-hmm. People don't like missing like half the game to go to the bathroom. Like, right. And I'm not even exaggerating. You hear stories, people are like missing like half the game because they had to go to the bathroom. So they're renovating all that stuff. They're putting in those new field suites this year. They're putting in like premium seating on top of the suites there in the south end. So I like what he's doing as far as like, and he's very proactive. Like Andy Geiger was super proactive. Gene was kind of like, I call him cruise control Gene. You know, he didn't do anything. He kept the car on the road, but he didn't really add that much. He didn't really do that much, and he was here for a long time. Ross is pedal to the metal, proactive, 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 and I like that. And I feel like he's the right man and at the right time for this job. But, yeah, Ohio Stadium, always under construction. I think that's the perfect way to put it.
When Gene was here, Dave, on that last 2 years or so before retirement, he was just basically a cruise control man. He was just like, I'm not gonna ruffle any feathers. I'm just going to, you know, ride by my time and I'm out of here off into the sunset. And you didn't see a whole lot, like a lot of these things that Ross is doing, this should have been done a long time ago. So kudos to him. Let me ask you this. One of the big things is increasing or like bringing the internet speed up to modern times into the shoe. When you guys are there, like what's the speed? Do you guys have like a lag or do you guys have any issues in the press box when it comes to like the internet and all that stuff?
Not anymore. Like that used to be a big problem. And it hasn't been in a while. Like they, and then even when it was okay in the press box, when they improved that, the fans were still having some issues. That went away. Like I talked to fans now, they're not having any trouble with Wi-Fi. At least we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people. I shouldn't speak for everybody, but from what I've heard, even for the fans, it's gotten a lot better. And yeah, years ago it was a problem in the press box, but we haven't had issues in a long time. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know we have somebody in the chat right here, J-Book, and I've heard this from other people, you know, that, you know, just go ahead and just build a new horseshoe. Let me find the actual quote here. Gosh, we got so many. You guys are awesome. We got such a robust chat here. I'm losing track. Basically, and he or she was basically saying something similar I hear from a lot of people, including people in my family. Why not just build a new stadium. Well, my thing on that is we have a freaking cathedral and I want to keep it and just keep renovating it. I like what they're doing. I would rather them do this than completely build a new stadium. What about you?
Yeah. I mean, the shoe is historical, man. Like you said, it's a cathedral. It's the gladiators. It reminds me of Gladiator Coliseum, man. Not necessarily comparing it to USC Coliseum, but so many guys who have laid it on the line have walked out onto that field. 100,000 people. I mean, that right there is a historical site. I wonder how much, like, what steps anytime they want to do a renovation to the shoe has to take place with it being marked as an historical site in Ohio. I wonder if there's like a legislation or somebody that they have to go and talk to and say, hey, we want to be able to do this, or if Ohio State just has free reign to do whatever they need to do to make sure that it's upkept. But the big new scoreboard is coming in. Whoever's ear he has on the board of trustees, Dave, I don't think anybody has said no. Like, everything that the fans have asked for when they put out that poll, that questionnaire for the fans, to asking them what do they want done, almost everything's been greenlit. Like, he's just going to the board and trustees and said, we're doing this. And they're like, approve. I mean, has anything been potentially denied? Because everything that's being done is the request of what all of the fans have been asking for.
I'm guessing the WAC, he's not going to throw anybody under the bus. I think he's probably frustrated that that's not off the ground by now. Because, again, a year ago, Ross was telling us, that's priority number one, along with the ice rink. And he said that again. We want to break ground on the WAC. We want to break ground on a new ice rink. But that's a year later he's saying that and saying the exact same thing. And now it's 18 months before they break ground. I bet you that's one thing that he's frustrated with, that he wants to get going on that, and the money's just not quite there. Because he did mention at one point, like how many Buckeye fans there are like across the world. There's estimated 12 million Buckeye fans. And he said 12 million. He's like, that's great. He said, we have about 25,000 donors. Kind of put Buckeye Nation on notice. Like, look, we got 12 million fans, but only 25,000 of those 12 million are donating to the program. So kind of put Buckeye fans on notice a little bit. We need to step up the donations. That's probably the one thing he hasn't gotten that he wants, I would guess, is like, if it was up to Ross, I bet he would have found a way to break ground on the renovated WAC by now. Yeah,
I mean, for them to be able to bring in more fans, yes, you have a massive fan base and it's always power in numbers. However, when you look at the way that the landscape has changed, how many fans are turned off, Dave, about the way Ohio State has kind of, not necessarily Ohio State's fault, but the game itself as far as college football, to where a lot of people are just like, I'm just going to watch them Saturdays. Like, all of the other nonsense is just like too much. Like, right now, like, players can just up and leave whenever. You're asking us to donate and the players can leave tomorrow after you pay them. I mean, everybody here in this chat is mentioning Chaz Coleman being released from Tennessee. Think about this. How many Tennessee fans may have donated a lot of their hard-earned money to be able to get Chaz Coleman out of the transfer portal? And he doesn't even make it to the season. Like, the guy, they paid him $1 million plus the transfer from Penn State, and boom, he is heading back to Ohio home. I mean, what'd you say?
What happened with Chaz Coleman?
The chat saying that Tennessee just kicked him off the team.
I see that. Yeah, James like had posted this a couple times, I think. But do we know why, or are they keeping that in house?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, he's had a ton of issues going in there. I mean, at one point, Tennessee insiders were saying it was a homesick issue, and then they came back later and said he had severe vertigo. But when the whole vertigo narrative was out there, people rated his social media and showed him standing with skinny jeans on and stacks of cash, showing it off and flaunting it in his Instagram and stuff. And people are saying, like, this is a kid that's gotten paid a significant amount of money and he's yet to even show up for like spring ball because they're claiming he has vertigo and he's homesick. And then they were trying to get someone from his family to move down there to Tennessee to like be with him. They thought that coming from Penn State with Jim Knowles was going to be a help. Obviously that wasn't. And then for whatever reason, they've kicked him off the team. I'm sure it's just a compound of multitude of things here, but that's a perfect example. It's like, hey man, if I donated $5,000, $10,000 to NIL and to get the prize defensive end transfer out of the portal, and this kid ups and leaves, like, man, that's just a blown $5,000 to $10,000. At least when you were doing it with the foundation and they were giving you a tax write-off, you can at least claim it on your taxes come tax season as a donation.
I'm reading about this right now. There's a multitude of factors. One outlet is reporting it's a medical situation, but it sounds like it's a combination of many factors. And Tennessee would not dismiss him from the program. They wouldn't say it like that if it was just a medical situation. Sounds like a bevy of reasons. Wow. Late breaking news here this morning. Yeah, I mean, all these stories were posted like 15 minutes ago. I like when news breaks while we're on. While we're on the air here. Okay, well, last thing, I want to talk about the shot. He mentioned the shot, and they're building a new ice hockey arena. One of the reasons that shot was built was it was going to be like multi-purpose arena, so it's just going to be basketball when they get that ice hockey arena finally built. I did like what he said about the shot, they don't know exactly what they're going to do yet, but they want to make it a more intimate environment. And if that means like redoing like the bottom bowl to bring like fans closer, they're looking into it. And he made a point that I agree with. Would it be nice to sell out the shot? Of course it would be. It'd be nice to have 18,000 fans in there. But if you can get somewhere between 12 to 16,000, hopefully closer to 16, that place can still rock. I've been in the shot plenty of times where I couldn't hear myself think. I've also been in the shot plenty of times where it feels like a freaking museum or a library where you can hear a pin drop. So we've got to get it, you know. But I like what he said. They don't know exactly what they're going to do yet, but it's definitely on their mind. They want to increase the fan experience, and they want to make it a tougher environment for opponents. Again, we don't know exactly what that entails, but I like that he at least brought that up.
Yeah, everybody is nostalgic about St. John's Arena and how cool of a old school arena that was and how loud it was. And then when you compare it to the shot, it's night and day. Something definitely needs to be done. If you're trying to be a big time basketball program and you got recruits there visiting and you can hear a pin drop in there, and then those same recruits go to Allen Fieldhouse over in Kansas, or they go down to Duke and they experience those type of environments, that right there could be the tipping point in you getting a blue chipper, even an in-state Ohio kid, because Ohio's been producing a lot of stud basketball players lately. But yeah, he has a lot, man. I mean, you touched it, like going from the football, making sure they're taking care of the ice hockey arena, making sure that the shoe environment is better. Like, you would think though the shoe environment is down on the list compared to all of the major things, but he wants to get it done. And if he can get it done, man, all of these things, it's going to be a legacy leaving footprint for him if he's able to accomplish all of these things that he wants to.
This Chaz Coleman stuff is just so interesting. Our Chris Hummer from 24/7 Sports and CBS Sports wrote a long story about it. He's hearing that Chaz Coleman got $2 million. $2 million. Jim Knowles must be thinking, man, what the heck?
Right. But think about it. He took that visit to Ohio State during the offseason after he hit the transfer portal. And everybody thought he was going to go to Ohio State. I think that's a situation to where he even wanted to come to Ohio State. He wanted to be closer to home. But Tennessee, being Tennessee, just think that they can throw around money, threw such a massive bag to him to get him to go there, to where it's a perfect prime example of the kid should probably have followed his heart as opposed to just chasing the money. I mean, how much happier would he be if he went to Ohio State and he got like 1.3, be closer to home, be coached by Larry Johnson, and then you have a much more stable locker room with a foundation of a brotherhood. And on top of that, if he is having situations with mental health, Ohio State and Ryan Day is at the tip of the spear when it comes to making sure that players' mental health is taken care of, and it's very important to them to make sure that players' mental health is heavily, heavily addressed if there's any type of issues. But just chasing the bag to go to Tennessee for a couple hundred thousand dollars may have derailed this kid. I mean, what's he's going to go to Youngstown State or something for a year and probably try to find another program? Whereas if he just said, hey, I'm going to Ohio State, I'll take 1.2, 1.3, and go play for Larry Johnson for 2 to 3 years and then head off to the NFL. I mean, you hope the best. You never want to see kids, fall off like that. There's clearly something going on. You just wish them the best.
Real quick, I want to address this. We have a question on YouTube from Troy. Didn't Brendan Sorsby get to keep the $5 million from Texas Tech? Yeah. I'm hearing he got to keep $1 million. Mm. $1 million. So at least he got that. But he's not even allowed to enter the supplemental draft. I mean, good on the NFL. I thought the NFL was going to – I was even saying, is Goodell going to treat him the same way he treated Terrell Pryor and Jim Tressel and suspend him for a few games? I was thinking, hey, he won't do it. He went deeper than that. He's like, we're just not going to have a supplemental draft, basically suspending Brendan Sorsby for a full year. I heard Sorsby only got $1 million only. I would love to only get $1 million of the $5 million that I didn't even play for. We have Hollywood Hagger saying regarding Chaz Coleman, he only got $100,000 up front. That's not like they paid him the full $2 million. But no, Sorsby got 20% of that $5 million. Not bad for not playing, you know?
Yeah.
Going straight to his FanDuel account.
If you're Sorsby, I would just go to a program and join a program and just sit out the year and just get ready, like get your body right, and just go ahead and take your NCAA punishment, or go to Texas Tech. You got a court in your favor. Just go to Texas Tech for the rest of the year. And work with their strength and conditioning program. Live like a king on campus. Go to school, get your education. I mean, I would much rather do that than sit at home for the whole year just watching college football on TV. At least he can still get world-class nutrition and training.
I like Doreen's suggestion here. Sorsby to the UFL. The Columbus Aviators, we need a quarterback for Teddy Ginn Jr. That they didn't have real good quarterback play first year for the Aviators. How about Brendan Sorsby to the UFL? Let's get it done. All right. Great stuff, Jay Book. I appreciate it as always. He is Mr. Jonah Booker. Thank you, my friend.
All right. Talk to you later. Have a good weekend.
Have a good weekend, buddy. There he goes. All right. And we got Wednesday. We got USA versus Bosnia, round of 32. How about that? 8 p.m. Eastern. If you're in Columbus, we're going to be having a watch party at Hollywood Casino for that. So 8 p.m. July 1st, this coming Wednesday. Yeah, June is almost over. I can't believe it. My favorite month of the year is almost over. summer's just flying by. And, yeah, I consider summer, it's Memorial Day is the start of summer as far as I'm concerned. I know technically it started last Sunday, but not for sports writers. And then it'll end for sports writers who cover Ohio State and the Big Ten about a month from now when we're in Chicago for Big Ten Media Days. But I can't wait for Media Days. And if you guys missed it, I'm sure most of you saw this. The three player reps for Ohio State are Jeremiah Smith making his second straight trip. I'm glad that they're doing that. He's the superstar. Julian Sain, I'm glad they're bringing him. And then they're bringing Jalen McClain. I'm really happy for him. I mean, only four guys on the team that was an Iron Buckeye during winter workouts, along with Jeremiah Smith. Brandon Ennis and Garrett Stover were the others. But Jalen McClain had a great offseason. I thought he was good as a first-year starter as a sophomore. And just the way the coaches gushed about him during spring, everybody, like Matt Patricia, Ryan Day, Matt Guerrieri, Tim Walton, all the coaches gushed about him. Hearing Matt Patricia talk about him, he talks about him almost like he's Caleb Downs. And then they would say, like, I'm not trying to say he's Caleb Downs, but so that's not one I would have guessed. I would have guessed Kenyatta, but Kenyatta doesn't really like talking to the media that much. He's cordial. He just doesn't, it's not his thing. So I'm sure Ryan Day asked Kenyatta as a fifth year senior, do you want to go? Do you want to be one of our three player reps? I'm guessing Kenyatta said, nah, give it to somebody else. So I would have lost money if we were betting on the three. I probably would have got two. I think I would have got Jeremiah, even though Jeremiah went last year. A lot of times they don't bring guys who have already been, but you got to bring Jeremiah Smith unless he just didn't want to go. You got to bring Julian Sain. I mean, he's the quarterback. But I probably would have guessed. I would have guessed Kenyatta, somebody like that. But good on Jalen McClain. I think we can expect a big time year out of Jalen McClain as a junior this year. And you talk to this young man. It's not just what his teammates say about him and his coaches. That's another thing. His teammates gush about him. You talk to this young man, you can see why. I mean, he is just business, focused on football, focused on working hard. Kind of came here like under the radar from Jersey. He wasn't a big-time recruit and saw the field right away. He was turning heads that first spring when he enrolled. So that would have been spring of 2024 when he still should have been in high school. People were like, hey, look out for number 18 out there. Now he's number 8. But you're like, look out for number 18 out there. He's looking good, and he was. And he played as a true freshman. And then he was able to, beat out Malik Hartford and others for the starting job last year. So good on Jalen McClain. So we'll have those three guys on Ryan Day, Big Ten Media Days. And if you're curious, so Big Ten Media Days run July 28th through the 30th, but they have 6 teams each day. All of Ohio State stuff will be on July 29th. Mark that on your calendars, July 29th. Big Ten Network always has coverage all day. So it'll be Ohio State and 5 other teams on that middle day. Is that a Wednesday, I believe? It's either Wednesday. Yeah, I think that's a Wednesday. It's July 29th. So the second day of Big Ten Media Days is when all of Ohio State stuff will be. And Bucknuts will be there in full force covering it. It'll be the first time it's been in Chicago in a while. It was in Vegas last year. And then previous to that, it had been in Indy for like the last, I don't know how many years. It's probably my favorite event to cover, unless Ohio State's playing like in a national championship game or something. But seriously, I mean, because when else do you get all 18 teams there? That's a total of 54 players, and they're all key players, obviously, because each team brings 3. All 18 head coaches are there. I mean, it's such a cool event. You never get anything like that. So really looking forward to Big Ten Media Days. Almost exactly a month from now. All right, great stuff from J-Book, and thanks to all of you guys. Again, the chat is so lively, I couldn't even keep up with it. You guys are awesome. I appreciate that very much. Hope you guys enjoy the rest of your day. Hope you have a great weekend, and go Bucks.
Criminal Minds Evolution is back on Paramount Plus.
We are going to go where the evidence takes us.
This season, evil is contagious.
Once it starts, it can't be stopped.
Criminal Minds Evolution. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus.